Barbara Friedman joins us for Barb's Wire. Look at some of the things trending on social media, and there's shocking, and there's interesting, and there's even more interesting. All of that in one go. Let's start with the shocking. I mean, really.
Yeah. So this is a story that has been doing the rounds and trending, and it's about a couple who on Tuesday, a Belgian couple, arrived at Ben Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv on their way back to Europe with their baby. And when they got to the check-in, they didn't have the appropriate ticket for their baby in a baby carrier, little tiny baby. The Ryanair staff said, "You can't come through," sent them away. They subsequently went and left their baby in the baby carrier, at the security check with the baggage, and then went back to go through without their baby. I mean, Ryanair staff are saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Of course, they were caught on camera. It was caught on camera. They have pictures of the baby carrier, and they open the blanket and there's the baby. It's not that expensive to add on. Apparently, you can get a lap seat or a separate seat. There are various options. I don't know if they were stressed.
The couple got onto the plane without the baby.
They were trying to. I mean, once they came to the check-in and the authorities of Ryanair said, "You can't come through without a separate ticket for your baby." They then retreated and then came through to check in again a little while later without the baby. They left the baby in the airport. Okay, it has been resolved because it was caught. They called the police.
And they got mom and dad.
It seems like the baby. And it seems like it's been resolved. But the point is, either you're very stressed as parents with a young baby and you kind of have to get back to Belgium and you're like freaking out. I don't understand this thought process. There's no explanation for it. That is why it's such a shocking story.
It's done. They don't deserve baby.
Exactly. And I kind of even found the end of the second article, which was a BBC one, where they said it's all been resolved. And the baby was with the parents. There's no further investigation. And I was thinking, well, there should be an investigation.
No, that's hardcore.
I wouldn't want to be that baby.
Shame. It's going to happen again.
I know. I don't even understand it. What a weird story.
That's mad.
Mad.
Okay. Completely. Interesting. And maybe I qualify. No. I kind of clean it out from time to time.
Okay, this I do find fascinating. This is this question. It's an article that was written on abc.net.au. It's an Australian website. And it's written by someone called Sam Nichols, and it's about digital hoarding. And I hadn't really thought of it in those terms. So it is, you know, we know that there are people who hoard. We know there are hoarders with a hoarding illness, if you want to call it, for want of a better word, where you go into houses and it's just packed with boxes. They throw nothing away. And I mean, you've seen these TV reality shows where they go and help hoarders. I don't know if you've ever seen one.
Yeah.
It's shocking. But this is about digital hoarding. And then you have to ask yourself in this new era, are you a digital hoarder? This particular woman who was interviewed, Kristen O'Connell, says she knows she's got these kind of issues, but she says she has thousands and thousands and thousands of screenshots from the last 10 years on her phone.
Screenshots, okay.
And I was thinking about it. So for this segment and for my digital online work, I often screenshot little stuff when I'm browsing on my phone. You know, I screenshot it just so I can remember the headline and the story. And then I kind of go. And at the end of each week, I literally go through my phone and I delete them all because they are now out of date. Like, I would never want to keep that bump in my phone. But she's got thousands and thousands. She's got hundreds of unread texts from the past year. More than 17,000 unread emails.
22,000. No.
I mean, our inboxes, I do think our inboxes can get out of control. I don't know if yours does. Mine has at times over the years. And then I go through these like mass purges of my email.
Yeah.
But I do admire people who, what do they call it? Is a word for it. I'm going to get wrong. Zero inbox. You're a zero inbox person.
You're clean.
Who, it can be such a thing.
I seem to not want to lose anything important. I think somewhere in between, in the dates, there's something that I want to hold on to, and therefore I hold on to everything because I don't know which one is important.
Yeah,
the important one.
So now the British Medical Journal has published a case study and done some research, where they're saying that it's possible that digital hoarding should be included as a subtype of the hoarding disorder. They did a case study on a 47-year-old man who took and kept 1,000 digital photographs each day. There's lots of other academic studies being done on this. and looking at characteristics in the digital world. And I mean, I suppose the point is, which I'm always intrigued by, I don't know if you are, Clarence, that as the world changes, these kinds of disorders take on a new form. And so I hadn't really thought of it as a disorder. You know, I know like keeping like every, you know, you magazine from the last 50 years in your attic might be considered hoarding.
I think you're making us think this morning, Barbara. Are we hoarders?
Are we hoarders?
And I'm going to just, what did you say? Zero what?
I think it's called a zero inbox.
I'm going to be a zero inbox person.
I'm going to actually look that up and
find
the right
term. That means I must read everything.
Or,
do you have to read everything or can you like junk?
I junk a lot of stuff without reading. But you got to get good at that, you know. Then the next minute you've deleted the key email from your boss that said, please be in my office in like half an hour.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, let me just see what Clarence and Bob's Ben Gurion Airport and Belgium. It's a case of kid unnapping.
Is that what someone said?
It's done. Somebody says, digital pics from 2000, says Albert.
Really?
I have emails going back to 2005.
Oh, my goodness. But then there's also ways of archiving this in the cloud, no?
Yeah. No.
And like we at Prime Media have a OneDrive, so you can keep actually a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but there's junk up there as well, though.
There is junk up there.
Well, think about
this futuristic scenario, like junk in the clouds. Like, do we run out of space in there? Where is this? What is this?
It's a little server somewhere.
Big server.
A big server, not a little server.
And how many of these do you need and do they run out?
Yeah, and
I'm getting anxiety now.
And the extent to which we're creating data.
So it's but gonna, also, it's, is it, how much space does it take up?
Eventually the whole wide world then. And it's going to get faster.
But at least it's paperless and drawless and, you know, it's not taking up physical room in our world.
Why do I think it's not going to be our problem?
It's not just definitely not going to be mine.
Look, that junk in the cloud.
In a few years' time, I won't even remember what's up there because I'll be, you know.
Oh, yeah, the ozone layer kind of problems. Other people have different kind of problems, huh?
Yeah.
You know, the ozone layer's kind of getting better, healing.
Yeah, apparently. Mm.
Good news.
The hole is getting smaller.
Indeed. Okay.
The last story.
I find this one also interesting.
It is. I sort of picked things. I was laughing after I looked at what I picked. I thought they're all things that have sort of an ethical or kind of moral or something that resonates for you, even if it's not in this context. This one is about privacy and your space. And, you know, we all live in our homes, wherever that may be. I mean, some people live in places which are much more crowded, some in more space. This is just one of those. This is a bit of a sort of an upper class story, but I still think it has some interesting points. So this is in London. The Tate Modern, which is obviously an iconic and very famous art gallery in the south of London. It is next door has been built these £2 million luxury flats.
That's luxury.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It is quite an upper class story, but you can sort of extrapolate this into your own world. And at the sort of top end of the Tate Modern is a viewing gallery. So it's a huge platform floor. It's enclosed, but it's a platform with viewing windows all around that people go up to this floor in London in the Tate Modern, and then they can survey the whole of London, and they can look at, and there's obviously the arts involved. You look right into these incredibly glass-walled windows of this luxury block of flats. So on these different four or five levels of this block of flats next door, you have these hordes of tourists or viewers who are visiting the Tate Modern viewing deck looking straight into your flat. Because they're very modern flats as well, so it's a lot of glass. And they've got photos on – Daily Mail's got an article today about it. They've got lots of photos of these flats and how these people are standing on the gallery looking right at you. And so some people were saying, you know, what if you're heartbroken and you want to sit on your couch for the next month eating, like, ice cream? And then everyone's, like, watching you.
And no permission has been asked for this little –
Well, they've gone to court. The block of flats has actually gone – to the owners have lost the last stage of their fight at the Court of Appeal in February in 2022 when a judge agreed with a previous High Court decision which suggested the owners could simply lower their solar blinds or install privacy film or net curtains. But of course, that's not the look of the block.
Yeah.
But I do think so. They're obviously not winning their battle. And so it looks like the Tate Modern visitors can still ogle the block of flats next door. But it made me think, we were chatting in the office before, it made us all think about our homes. And I've lived in places where there weren't a lot of neighbors and you didn't have to make sure all the curtains were closed when you were kind of like getting dressed. And then you live in a more urban or, you know, setting, you know, where houses are right, you know, cheek by jowl. And then you've got to decide if you...
And you wonder, what is art?
Well, they obviously found that more art than the paintings on the walls.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a moving art installation, watching someone living... Don't you... It is quite... I mean, I don't know if you've ever looked at people living in an apartment near you, but it is something mesmerizing about...
I know some people that do it with binoculars.
Correct. And some people, it's a lot dodgier than that.
Indeed. Indeed. I just go to the zoo. Same thing. Same thing. Okay, thank you. That's Barb's Wire. Barbara Friedman, 9:30. She won't be back tomorrow. My goodness, tomorrow's the Naked Scientist, of course.